Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're visiting with Mr. Buck Lyons, the CEO and founder of Weatherflow, a leader in forecasting and weather technology. How cool is that? Should be interesting. And Mr. Lyons, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's definitely a privilege to be on the show.
You're certainly welcome. Our pleasure, and looking forward to learning more about Weatherflow. So for starters, tell us a little bit more about Weatherflow, the company, to kick things off here today.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. The simplest way to phrase it is Weatherflow is a weather technology company. And so what I mean by that is we utilize basically leading edge technology to provide customers with information about the weather. So that's current weather conditions and forecasts. And essentially, we're empowering folks who are not getting what they need from government weather sources or, say, other private services. And that's because our data is substantially more powerful. We deliver better information, and then we deliver it in like a suite of applications that help customers make better, smarter decisions, because most people aren't really equipped to deal with raw weather data. But if you package up in a tool that's designed for their needs, then that helps them get a good return on their investment. You know, that's sort of the basic story, but the key difference maker is that the foundation of the business is better data. And that starts with observational data, having sensors that measure weather parameters so we can utilize that in creating the rest of our products. So we start by gathering every stitch of data that might be helpful from government sources, from other much less readily available sources that we've sourced out through the years, and we even pay to license data when that makes sense for us. Then as the next step, we will install and maintain an industrial-grade weather station where that makes sense. And these are government-like systems. They're very robust. When we have a relevant location, we'll even guarantee they will survive a severe weather, like a hurricane. And then on the other side of that is, as a last step, we will complement all that data with data from inexpensive weather stations that we sell in large quantities. And that's kind of the latest thing we do, and it's becoming a growing part of our business. That's a big pile of data. The next step is we vet and curate that data to make sure we're working with a quality controlled valuable set. And then we use the data with powerful machine learning and other modeling techniques to create that better forecast that I was talking about. And, you know, we have a fantastic team of engineers, scientists, programmers who work together to ultimately create a valuable product, which is, you know, very valuable, but valued by our customers. And, the key to us finding customers is we need to find folks who really need the info. They need to gain performance or save money so they can get a return on their investment. We're not the cheapest service, at least historically. And historically, that meant that most of our business came from clients in business and government. For instance, insurance companies want to know, you know, what kind of havoc the weather is about to create, and then even as a storm is coming through, you know, what is happening, where do they deploy resources, even some esoteric applications to help them analyze damage. The federal government is a big customer. NOAA historically has supported all branches of government, but now NOAA itself, the Coast Guard, Navy, they need more information, and they're all customers of ours. We have had for years services for consumers, but generally they are pretty niche-y. Like we have a service geared towards hardcore sailboat racers, and that's well received and successful. But you know, there's not that many people who want to pay more than $100 a year, which is what we charge for something like that. So our consumer business has been small. But that's really the big exciting change here. We're now both selling an inexpensive home weather station and providing sort of this very high grade professional service. And it's now basically accessible to almost anyone. And the ease at which we can expand our networks has allowed us to not only grow very quickly from a revenue standpoint, but we're also becoming truly global. So it's an exciting time here.
I'd back you on that. Certainly sounds not only exciting, but quite an interesting industry to be in for sure. Now, what is Tempest, and why did you choose to create a more consumer-focused product? Talk to us about that.
Well, so like I said, for the last few years, we've been selling a personal weather system to augment our data set. And Tempest is our latest offering there. But the really exciting thing is Tempest is much more than a weather station. It's a system. It's a combination of a weather station hardware, our unique data science I was describing, and our powerful forecasting technology. And, of course, it includes an app. Works on your smart home, a tablet, or a web, which makes it easy to access all that. And so it's very, very exciting because it's allowing us not only to grow our data network, which is then valuable to all customers, but it's making a very powerful service accessible to almost everyone. And frankly, it's general advances in technology that have allowed that. We would have liked to have done this 10 years ago, but it just wasn't really possible. Now, sensor technology has evolved. Connectivity works well, is inexpensive. And even data analysis techniques have evolved in such a way that it makes it practical for us to use this massive data set, which frankly does need more quality control and curating to make it useful. So, like I said, exciting time.
Yeah, I hear you on that, Mr. Lyons. Now, for the average consumer, what kinds of insights does Tempest give you? Get into some of those details.
Well, I mean, as I said, the key thing is it gives you better information about both current weather conditions and a better forecast, especially for the very short term, like intraday or tomorrow. And we find folks benefit from that in many different ways. I mean, even in my family, I'm like the bike rider and the sailor, and I love getting more granular information about the weather. My wife's a gardener. She benefits in the same way. She's completely addicted to the system now. Some folks are just about keeping safe because we have information, you know, you're getting better information about when the storm is coming, includes a lightning detection. You're educating your kids. It's just fun. And then even more substantively or directly, it will integrate with smart home technology, which can help save you money on energy or just control the temperature of your house more efficiently. A huge group are just kind of, really into watching the weather. We call them weather geeks. And we also have a saying that there's a little bit of weather geek in just about everyone.
I believe you're right on that. I'd actually have to admit that I was one of those geeks. I used to watch the Weather Channel around the clock. Man, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. Today, we're joined by Mr. Buck Lyons, the CEO and founder of Weatherflow, a leader in forecasting and weather technology. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing to talk about Tempest, and of course, smart home technology is so popular today. How does Tempest integrate with smart home technology?
Well, it's, smart home technology works on a series of standards, and right now, we integrate seamlessly with Google Assistant, Amazon Alexa, IF, TTP. We're slightly behind with Samsung SmartThings and Siri Shortcuts, but that will be available in September. In all cases, you basically can use better information about the weather outside and coming, you know, especially short-term forecast, to allow your home to adjust temperature appropriately and save energy. You know, you can better know when to close drapes, when to open up windows rather than have the air conditioning turned on. And increasingly, people are figuring out ways to automate all of that. And, you know, there's, like, my wife now uses it to mesh with our sprinkler system, so we're not wasting water. We're on a well. It's that kind of thing. The number of possibilities are really pretty much endless.
Cool stuff right there, and it sounds like it would be endless, and that is another exciting aspect of this product, combining it with smart home technology. Lastly, what are your thoughts on the future of weather forecasting and its impact on our daily lives?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So, you know, weather forecasting is without a doubt steadily getting more accurate. And that's not just us. I mean, the global models, which are one of the basis of the tools we use, and really the key to having more accurate 10-day forecasts, say, are steadily getting better. And then, you know, not to tear our own home too much, but we're certainly at the very leading edge of how to make very localized and very short-term forecasts better. And both of those phenomena are opening up lots of possibilities on life improvements. I mean, you're saving money on energy. You know, the data set, even if you're not much of a smart homer and wouldn't really ever put the effort in to save money and energy at your house, we are using the collective data set and delivering it to utilities and electric grid management companies, all of which can benefit from that to save money on a more regional basis. I mean, hell, for some, it might just mean getting in more golf rounds if they're getting better information. And I think kind of skipping back to the big picture, the positive thing is it means that everyone's going to benefit from better weather information and better climate information, a better climate record. All of that is going to be extremely helpful. But one of the challenges is that data of all kinds used to be supplied primarily by governments. Now, national med agencies, which are really in charge of public safety, in charge of safety and protecting property for everyone, don't necessarily always have access to the best information. And at Weatherflow, we're very passionate about the idea that we want the national med agencies to have access to our data so they can focus on the job of protecting everyone, because Weatherflow is a for-profit company. We need to make money from our services. And it seems like the role of government is really to worry about helping everyone, saving everyone's lives. So I'm not sure if that's a little bit afield from your question, but it is sort of passing around here. So I hope the world embraces that philosophy.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, and really appreciate the thorough coverage in that regard on your response there. As we conclude today, we have a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners tuning in today worldwide, and love to have a little advice from you. What would your advice be for those aspiring entrepreneurs who have a business idea, who hasn't taken action or doesn't know what to do next? What would your advice be in those regards?
You know, I think I've got to put in both camps of both following your passion, which is sort of the classic advice. And the other is, you know, make sure you know what you're getting into, because you'd better be good at it. You'd better be ready to put a lot of energy into it. You better have your ducks in a row in terms of ideas and financing, because you know, unless you're really lucky, it's not easy. When I was a young entrepreneur, I was definitely the go for it, practicalities be damned type, and it was only luck that saved me from disaster, and probably took me an extra 10 or 15 years to truly be successful, because I didn't follow the advice I just gave from the beginning.
Well, Mr. Lyons, certainly do appreciate your 2 cents worth. I totally agree with you. You need to be passionate and you need to be good at it. And thanks for pointing that out as we conclude. Tell us, where can listeners get more information on Weatherflow and also be in touch accordingly?
Our URL for the website is Weatherflow. That's the word weather, FLOW.com. And, you know, the website should be able to allow you to find information on our products, to buy things that are consumer-oriented, or track down the right people if you are interested in anything from a job or you want a more commercially-oriented service.
Again, listeners, it is weatherflow.com. Mr. Lyons, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was really I love doing this kind of thing, and I listened to a number of your podcasts, and they were all great, so I hope I can live up to that.
Well, we certainly appreciate your contribution to EPN and for your support. Thanks so much. Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Buck Lyons, the CEO and founder of Weatherflow, a leader in forecasting and weather technology. And for all the details, visit weatherflow.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.